for such a time as this is the title of our message, taken from Genesis chapter 41 and verses 32 to 57. The seasons of life has its meandering. Just as the river turns and twists and meanders, so it is the believer's lot in life. So what do we do during those seasons of life? That the believer may maintain his ways before God in every season of life. For it is God who orders the events of life for his purpose and glory. With the season of winter past comes spring and summer. The wintry times are times of waiting and keeping. When the snow melts for the past 1 year and 8 months, we see most of the time we are kept at home, work at home, study from home. Those times of isolation, then the season changes. The birds come, the gloom, the blossom of the green, a time for action. The days of preparation brings with it days of service. Lead on, O King Eternal, the hymn goes, the day of March has come. Henceforth, in fields of conquest, thy tents shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. God prepares his men for his time. Joseph is prepared for such a time as this. God makes no mistakes in our lives. We believe that there is no accident in life. All the events of life are predetermined by God and yet enacted according to the will that God gives to each individual as they exercise their choices. The believer is taught to look to God in all seasons of life. If you have been spending time cultivating our souls, reading our Bibles, praying and seeking God to do his will, then a time of fruitfulness will come. We have just one thought for our message today, that is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Joseph was now given the opportunity to be released from prison and to be useful in the salvation of many through a coming famine. His usefulness, as we will see and as we have seen, comes with a close bond that he has with his Maker. He was a man with a will that is surrendered to God, allowing the Spirit of God to lead him so that he may bear fruit in his life. He was able to interpret dreams. In other words, his prayer to God was effectual. God answered his prayer. He was able to understand life and help the people around him. God, through his Spirit, showed him, taught him, wherewith cometh that strength for life. Turn with me to John chapter 15 and verse 1 to 2. The Lord Jesus says, I am the vine and my father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, a farmer, when he cultivates a plant, it comes with a great effort. You know, vineyards are not easy to cultivate. It takes long years of careful cultivation before the fruits would come. And we can trace it to careful purging, careful pruning before the fruit would come. Joseph has been prepared through the seasons of imprisonment and disappointment to now bear fruit. Do not be discouraged when you face afflictions and setbacks and disappointments in life. They are God's school of training for you, as it was in Joseph's life. God prepared him through the seasons of imprisonment and disappointment to now bear fruit. How can the believer bear fruit? How can we bear fruit, spiritual fruit, in our lives? The psalmist tells us in Psalm 1 and verse 2 that his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. You recall when we have our church camp in June, we speak about this on meditation. How we need to spend time to dwell on God's word and to dwell deeply in the things of God, so that we may understand the will of God, that we may know the laws of God, and that we may have the strength to obey them and to do them. Last month we speak about sickness. How does a believer approach sickness? How do we understand sickness in the life of a believer? What does God want us to do in times of our sickness? And one of the lessons that we learned, you recall, written by J.C. Ryle, he says that in sickness we learn patience. We learn to bear under the yoke of pain. We learn not to fret. We learn to wait upon God. So the psalmist says his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. Fruit comes to our lives, spiritual fruit, if we would cultivate. And it takes time for the vine to bear fruit, isn't it? Much careful pruning, much nourishing, day in, day out. And his leaf shall not wither, and wither whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. How do we bear fruit, spiritual fruit, in our lives? By maintaining our ways before God. In all seasons of life, he kept the law of the Lord. He showed himself a vessel fit for the master's use. He will now give advice to Pharaoh concerning the management of the famine to come. All the training that he had gone through in his years of preparation will now be put to good use. You see, God works for a good purpose in our lives, and our lives is not wasted. You know, this life that he has given us is most precious, and it is to be lived for his honor and for his glory. And so the Lord has a plan for our lives, just as He has a plan for Joseph's life. He will be given the most responsible task as the prime minister in Egypt, the greatest empire on earth in his time. And he will be given the responsibility over vast resources and given the task to do good in a time of crisis. You will notice that Joseph was faithful to the mundane task that he has been assigned to do throughout his youthful life. He was a responsible son to his father. You recall, the father would send him off to check on the brothers, to find out the well-being of the brothers. He was a good steward to Potiphar. In Potiphar's household, he maintained a good testimony. He was a good right-hand man to the prison keeper. If God assigned us a little task and we are faithful to it, He will surely assign us with more responsible work. And this was the life of Joseph. How he bare forth a good testimony, not only in the evil times, but also in the good time to come. And Jesus reasoned for us in the parable of the talents when he said, "He that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents. Lord, thou givest me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained 5 beside them. 5 talents more. And the Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord." He that had received 2 talents came also and said, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents. "Well done," the Lord said, "good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." The Lord Jesus gave the signs of His coming in Matthew 24, describing clearly the signs that will lead up to His coming again. And in the light of the imminence of Christ's second coming, how are Christians to live our lives? When the signs were first given 2,000 years ago, Jesus speaks of the imminence of His return. What about today? All the signs are manifested before us. Do we understand the day of consummation is coming? And are we prepared? The parable of the virgins, the parable of the talents, speak to our minds of this important event, the second coming of Christ, and brings before us the church, the professing church of Jesus Christ, the local church. And this is the parable that God gives to us, the servants, the virgins, the same people. And the Lord is speaking to us that we are to be vigilant, we are to be diligent, awaiting, watching for the Lord's coming again, and to be using our talents for His glory. So, is our life diligent or is it slothful? Is it fruitful or is it fruitless? Will the Lord give us a commendation or a condemnation? God is for us to evaluate while we have time. For Joseph, he was diligent and not slothful in his duties. He was fruitful and not fruitless in the various seasons of his life. You remember when Potiphar's wife had an eye on him? What did he do? Well, he'd rather go to prison than to betray his dear master who has put him over his house. That was Joseph. He did his part. He received the ultimate commendation from the Lord. being the prime minister, is the hardest of all the assignment in the sense of the magnitude of the task. But in terms of the motivation, we may say it is the easiest. Compared to being a slave and being a prisoner. If you think about it, the contrast. In the 18th century in America and England, there was a period of revival of true religion. And one of the instruments of this awakening was this man called Jonathan Edwards, who shaped the spiritual landscape of America in the mid-18th century. He was a man of resolve. And these are some of Jonathan Edwards' resolution. He says, resolved to live with all my might while I live. Resolved never to lose one moment of time, to improve it in the most profitable way I can. Resolved never to do anything which I should despise and think meanly of another person. So he speaks about interpersonal relationships. Resolved never to do anything out of revenge. How did he learn this? Where did he learn these principles from? From the Bible. He extracted them and became his life principles. And he says, I must not forget. Resolve never to do anything out of revenge. Resolve never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. In other words, he lived in the light of the last day. It would not be something that I would regret. So there was much soul searching, much reflection all the time. And he was not alone in preaching that led to revival. There were other men whom God also raised during that time. Then again, I ask that we also consider this thought about our talents, whether it is rightly used. You may not be a Whitfield, may not be a Luther, may not be a Calvin. Great men, great reformers. But God can use the ability of a humble village pastor whose flock may number 50, who toils for them for his life and spend hours praying for their welfare, who uses all the little ability he has in his endeavor to win them to Christ. How do we see it? Do we regard these things as important? What is the role that God has called you to do? For Joseph, God showed him how he can be faithful. Verse 33 of our text says, now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, set him over the land of Egypt. So this was Joseph's recommendation to Pharaoh, knowing that the famine is going to come. There will be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And Joseph outlined the strategy for the coming famine. And Pharaoh said, you are the man. Thou shalt be, verse 40, over my house. According unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thee. Pharaoh hearkened to Joseph's advice and put him in charge of managing the coming famine. God is working out his plan to multiply the family of Jacob who will come out from Canaan as a result of the famine. So you see, we don't know what is the future. But God is working out a future that we cannot fathom. But by his laws, by his teachings, from his word, he's guiding us to fulfill his good pleasure, his will, for his own honor and glory. So, as we think about Joseph's life, Turn with me to Acts chapter 7 and verse 9. This is a preview of his life, right? Many years later. To sum up the fruitfulness, to help us to see what God was doing. You see, sometimes when we are encompassed in our present, we may not understand what God is doing, but give it time. God will unfold to us. Acts chapter 7 and verse 9 says, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance." That's Jacob's family. "And when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first, and at the second, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred were made known unto Pharaoh. Then Joseph called his father Jacob to him, and all the kindred, 60, 75 souls, 75 of them. So Joseph went down into Egypt and died there, he and his fathers, and were carried over into Shechem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But when the time of promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt." You see, God was doing something to make a nation. This nation will be a witness for him. And Joseph was playing that one particular role and part in his life. And God wants us to know that we have a role to play in his eternal kingdom plan. And the Lord wants us to be fruitful, useful for him. Verse 41, "And Joseph said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put him a gold chain around his neck, and made him to ride on the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." You see, Pharaoh is called the son of the sun god. Who is the sun god? Well, the sun god is the worship of the sun, the most brilliant element that God has placed in the stratosphere. Right? So brilliant that, you know, the sun must bring forth that energy at the right temperature all the time. And that energy must travel its distance to reach Earth. And that energy must come at a certain temperature. If it's too cold, the earth would freeze itself. If it's too hot, the earth would burn itself. So the sun is so significant. And if you are at the river now, you would know why the sun rising is so magnificent and great. And the people of Egypt worship the sun. And Pharaoh is called the sun god. A most significant element of history. And here, God has sent Joseph to say that, no, the sun is not God. There is a creator of heaven and earth that was able to interpret the dream of Pharaoh, that is overall in charge. over the affairs of the world, whether it be famine, whether it be plenty, so that the name of the living and true God will be exalted. And Joseph was playing that role to introduce to Pharaoh the living and true God. You know, during the Japanese occupation, it was a time where the world fell into great darkness. And during the surrender, the emperor, the Japanese emperor, was the son of the sun god. And in that surrender, he had to renounce that he is the son of the sun god. The God that rules the universe. The God, the Lord Jesus Christ, well, came in through the missionaries, through the people to evangelize the land. Light came again. There was a release from the bondage. And so it is here when we speak about life, right? When we speak to our older folks, they would share with us 3.5 years of the occupation, how frightening those times were. Dark times. But there's a God in heaven, and in that darkness we see God manifesting himself. And this is where God manifests himself to Joseph and to the entire land of Egypt, that he is the one that determines the plenty and the famine, so that Joseph could advise the Pharaoh. What a blessed change this was, from shame to glory, from the dungeon to the place of rule, from a slave in fetters to be elevated high above all. This was a grand reward of his faithfulness, a fitting recognition of his worth. How beautiful it is, Joseph's life. You know, when the Pharaoh gave Joseph a new name, what is the meaning of that name? It means the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. He recognized that in that name, that this man indeed interpreted and showed the future for the people. Joseph was a man close to the heart of God. He was useful for the Lord. And God blessed him with 2 sons before the famine. And Joseph's children were named. The names were a reflection of all that Joseph has gone through in his life. The blessing that he received as he kept faith with God. So what distinguished Joseph? It was his life with God. There was that living water that flows out of his life. And he was always able to be a blessing to the people around him. And God wants to use us to be useful to the people around us, that we will benefit, be a blessing to the people around us. And how can we do so? Well, the Lord trains us, and the secret power is the character. Donald Gray Barnhouse, he said, the secret is the character And the secret of character is God. The character of God in the life of His people. There was a striking difference. God's wisdom taught him how to manage the famine. Right? The tax was 20%. 20%. And it was enough to garner in the storehouse so that there would be enough during the 7 years of famine that will come. God trains His people. As we would take time to dwell on His Word, take time for Bible study, take time for our devotion, take time to think concerning what is God's will and to meditate upon it, so that we will do the will of God, whatever the seasons of life it may be for us. The psalmist says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, for from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, and He setteth up another." Isn't it so important that we keep close to Him? For He is the one, the determinator of all things. And what was the sum of Joseph's life? It was the sum of character building. In imbibing the very essence of God's character that was in him. So how do we build God's character in our lives? We are going to conclude with this verse. It's from Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 13 to 14. The words of Solomon, after many wasted years, after God gave him to be the wisest man in his time, he says this: "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, fear God, and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of men. This is the whole responsibility of men. Whatever the seasons of life, this is God's will for you." How important it is that we know the will of God. And when we learn the will of God, well, we learn how it is to live life. We learn to love the being of God. We learn to worship the love of the worship of God. To love the name of God. To love the day of God. To love the representative of God, our parents. To love the body of men. To love the morality of men. To love the property of men. To love the personality of men, and to love the prosperity of men. The Ten Commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God has a plan for our lives, and He would want us to be fruitful, and He has taught us how we can be fruitful. Let us labor that we may bear forth fruit for eternity, for His own honor and glory. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit. Guide us through Thy holy word, that we may find wisdom for life. Strengthen and encourage the hearts of Thy people as we look to Thee. For Thy own namesake, this we pray with thanksgiving, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.